Mark chapter number 16, and I want to just share just a few things about the ministry and a few things about where we are going. Mark chapter number 16, verses number 14, begin reading there. Would you stand with me for the reading of the word? Kind of get your blood flowing again. We have this commandment from Christ as he was about to ascend into heaven. The Bible says, and afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, and this is the great commission, go ye into all the world. It was not a suggestion. It was a command of God. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. What a picture here. What a commandment. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Let us pray. Father, I'm so thankful, Lord, for this great privilege of preaching that we have as we're here gathered together with the body of Christ. I thank you, Lord, for this beautiful congregation in Nebraska. This pastor, Lord, his family, and the families that are gathered here to gather around the truths of Scripture. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us this morning as we describe what's been going on within ministry around the world over the past year, 2 years, God, of what's been going on. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to organize my thoughts. Help me, Lord, to challenge the minds of this people that they might get on board with missions and sending the gospel around the world. Father, I pray you'd help me do a great job and bless a lot of people in a short amount of time. And everybody said amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I want to just begin and open this as I will try to be quick. I will try, keyword, I will try to be short. I want to just kind of talk to you about where we've gone, what's been going on the mission field. As I know, you know, I can preach a lot of things out of this Bible, but it's incredible to hear sometimes what the Lord has done over the last, you know, several months, even just since coronavirus. But before that, last year, the Lord began to place a burning desire in us to obviously to go into other nations. And we've been going into other nations. And as Dalton began to, he came on board with the ministry, most of you know, we do a lot of evangelism in Africa, East Africa, as I mentioned, all those nations from Kenya and Tanzania, Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi is a new one. And I just want to share with you from that point all the way through till today. Is that okay? I got a phone call from my crusade director, Ben. He said, Stephen, we want to go into the nation of Burundi. He said, as I was traveling through all of those East African nations, preparing for an annual pastors conference we host in East Africa every year, we pulled together as many pastors and leaders from nations all throughout East Africa, as Ben goes and travels to all of these nations. He leaves Kenya, goes down into Tanzania, into Uganda, into Rwanda, into Burundi, over into Congo, and all the way back up through. And he's talking to people and pastors about this conference. And the last time we had this conference, it was a year and a half ago now. We're supposed to be having one this August, but coronavirus has kind of shut things down. We had 13 nations gather from that, all of those African countries, 13 nations of pastors gathered there in Homa Bay, Kenya, on Lake Victoria. And so as Ben was traveling through making preparations, he said, Stephen, I've just come through the nation of Burundi. And Burundi is in a desperate state of the gospel. They need Jesus. The poverty that's here is unbelievable. And I told Ben, I said, well, begin. Prepare to, you know, make some preparations for us to go. And so I flew back down to Burundi. And it's easy for those of East Africa to fly in and out of these nations because that's kind of where they're from. And so they've got international treaty between nations. If you're from East Africa, you have no issues getting in and out of these nations. And so he went down and he talked with our crusade director there. I had never been there before, but he talked to our crusade director there, John Vier Ndueo. And John Vier began to make preparations for us to come. We're supposed to go to Burundi in the month of December, right? We're supposed to be there in December, and we began to make preparations, and he sent me a bunch of paperwork to fill out with the Burundi country's consulate, the embassy there in Washington, D.C. And so I sent, Dalton and I sent all of our things up to the embassy in Washington, D.C. And it was very, very difficult. I mean, when I tried to get into Congo, it was difficult. But trying to get into the nation of Burundi was very, very difficult. And we didn't understand. You know, some nations, you can just walk up to the nation, walk up to the customs desk, and they say, where are you from? Hand them your passport. Welcome to our nation. Well, there was not so with Burundi, and I didn't know why. Didn't understand why it was so difficult. Everything that we were doing was like something was fighting against us. And let me tell you something, folks. Whenever you begin to confront the territories of hell, whenever you begin to assault the kingdom of darkness, he's going to put up a fight. He's not going to just lay down. When you begin to go into the mission field of the Midwest up here, I promise you that hell is not going to lay down and just let you run in and take over. He's going to fight on every side. And so here we were. We're trying to get in. Had a lot of difficulty. I called the embassy almost every day, every other day. When is our visa? When is our visa coming? Because I wasn't going to buy a plane ticket and send a budget if I don't have the visa. I've done that before, made that mistake. Send over the budget and buy plane tickets and then not get a visa to go into the country. And so I just, you know, we waited. I called every day and they said, sir, this takes time. You know, we've got to go through a lot of things. And I did not know the difficulties of what was going on the other side of the earth in Burundi. Well, we had to go to the city of Charlotte for Dalton to get his yellow fever shot. If you ever go to East Africa, you have to have certain shots to get in. And one of those are yellow fever. In Tanzania, Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, yellow fever has been an issue. And so you have to have the vaccination yellow fever. And so I told Dalton, go to Charlotte. This is the only place you can get the shot from our hometown of Johnson City. Go over to Charlotte and get the shot. So we organized it and Dalton began to go. And he was about 40 minutes outside of Charlotte in his vehicle. And he calls me and Jess and the boys were elsewhere. And he calls me and he's just frantic on the phone. Says, Stephen, I've just totaled my vehicle. Literally, just absolutely wrote the vehicle off, totaled the vehicle. But thank God he walked out with just a little bruise on his leg. But the Lord protected him, but he wrote off his vehicle. I said, well, we're gonna have to come get you. So we left where we were, and we began to drive towards Charlotte to pick Dalton up. And he was at Walmart for like 8 hours. it was hilarious. Picked him up. He said, I don't want to go in Walmart again. He's been walking around Walmart forever. But we picked him up at Walmart, and we went. And we stayed in an area in Charlotte, got up the next morning, and we took him to the vaccination place. He got his vaccination, and we left, and we were driving back through the very town, Hanover, North Carolina, driving back through Hanover, and I stopped to get fuel, get gas for my van, and you know, you turn your vehicle off to get gas, and I was pumping gas, and I put it back, and I went to start my vehicle again, and my vehicle wouldn't start. Needless to say, don't drive through Hanover, North Carolina. I'm just joking. But we just, you know, trying to figure out what in the world's going on. And there's a lot of things that transpired. But finally, you know, we got back home and got Dalton's vehicle and all just a lot of details here. But we finally get home and I get our passports came back in the mail. It was a miracle. We had to change our plane tickets. We were supposed to leave on Monday, and it came to the Friday before the Monday when we were going to fly. I called the embassy, and I said, where is our visas? We're supposed to leave on Monday, and we had purchased our plane tickets because that was a visa requirement. We're supposed to leave on Monday. Where's our visas? They said, sir, there's no way we're going to be able to get you your visa. There's no way. So we called the airlines, had to push our airplane tickets out a whole week. Just a lot of issues. Finally, that Monday comes and we get a package in the mail. We were not expecting it. They said, you're not going to get it before Wednesday. There's no possible way. We've got to, you know, confirm with our embassies or, you know, the consulate in Burundi itself, our government, and just a lot of issues. And so here we were. We pushed it out to Thursday. They said, well, if it gets here on Wednesday, we'll at least be able to fly on Thursday. And so we woke up Monday morning. And we had had a package at the door. I couldn't believe it. Package was there. We opened it up. It was both of our passports. And in the passport, we had a visa. And I was just, you know, so ecstatic because we had so much that had gone into this trip already. Here was our visas. And I said, hey, and we're coming to Burundi. I called Ben. We talked to Jean-Vier. Said, we're coming. And so we left that Thursday morning to go to Kenya first and then pick up Ben and leave Kenya and go down to Burundi. Well, when we got to the airport, everything was delayed. I mean, I've been all over the world, and it's very seldom that you experience this kind of thing. I mean, from the time we left Johnson City, flew over to Charlotte, from that flight to Charlotte, every single flight we missed, all the way over to Nairobi, and then from Nairobi into Kisumu, and Ben came and picked us up, and we preached for him on Sunday. We were supposed to preach the whole week, but it didn't work out. Preached for him on Sunday, left, and went back to the airport, and flew into the nation of Burundi, me and Ben and Dalton. And little did we know, we had no idea really what was going on. This testimony is incredible. It's amazing, as you're led of the Lord, we knew that it was the will of God for us to go into Bujumbura, Burundi. And we got to the airport there, and you know, it's just almost really one of the smallest airports, international airports I've ever seen. And it was empty. There was nobody there, literally. We got off the airplane, very few people flying into Burundi. We get into this airport. Normally, international airports are bustling with people at that point in time. But there's just nobody in the airport at all. It was really eerie. And we walked through and we checked our passports through. No issues. I thought I was going to have issues with our visas. No issues. We get outside and there's like 50 people waiting for us. News reporters waiting for us. A whole band of people from the church and the hosts that were there waiting for us. And the news reporter came up to us and said, "What can we expect from you Americans here in Burundi this week?" And we began to express to them that we are expecting a move of God. We're expecting God to bring healing to the nation. We're expecting the Lord to bring deliverance of those that are bound. We're expecting Jesus to show up because he is able and he's more than a conqueror. And here we are. I said, we're expecting Jesus to come. But I did not know the implications of what was going on. Me and Dalton had no idea what really was going on. And so we left there. We went to the radio station in Bujumbura, the capital city, and we spoke on the radio. And everybody was just amazed at what was going on, but we still did not know the implications of what was going on. And we left the radio, went back, we began to preach. We preached that, we started, what was it, a Tuesday or a Wednesday? We started preaching. We preached the morning session, a pastor's conference, and then the crusade every night. And we got in the pastor's conference, and I'm building here. I'm going to just, it gets good here in a second, okay? We get in the pastor's conference, and it was really strange. It was not like it normally is when we go into nations and pastors are excited and the people are excited. It was just really weird. We get in the pastor's conference and we're sitting there and you know, the people that had gathered, about, I don't know, 100, 200 pastors that were there that had gathered were sitting there, you know, just preaching, trying to move them. But they just sat there, kind of like you. I'm just joking. But they literally just sat there and did not move. And I'm scratching my head and looking at Ben, what's going on? He said, I don't know what's going on. Me and Dalton preaching our guts out. And, we went to the crusade that night. And the Spirit of God finally began to move amongst the people in Maramja, just outside of Bujumbura. I know you know where I'm talking about. And we preached that night. But the next morning, we went back to the pastor's conference. And it was just like stone cold trying to preach to these people, trying to speak into their lives about ministry, and just strange. Went back to the pastor's conference, or went back to the crusade that night, and it was, again, the Lord began to move in waves. And finally, the next morning, we went back to the pastor's conference. In between, it was Friday, in between the pastor's conference and the crusade that night, Jean-Vé, we were in the house, and let me just back up a little bit. When we got off the airplane, I had booked a hotel, and Jean-Vier, we were in the car, and I said, let's go over to my hotel. He said, no. He said, I've got a house that I've rented. I've got a house prepared for you. And I said, I have a hotel that I booked. I've already paid. He said, I have a house, Stephen. I have a house ready. I said, I have a hotel. I've already paid. I'm going to lose the money. A week's worth of time, you know, to stay in a hotel in Bujumbura. And he said, Stephen, I have a house. And I knew that, you know, we were not going to go anywhere with this. So we were able to get a refund out of the hotel. We get to the house. And I've been a lot of places, okay? I've been a lot of places. He said he had a house ready for me. I just was like, well, let's just go to the house. We get to the house, and it was like a mansion. It was massive. I mean, it was one of the nicest houses I've ever seen. This large three-story home and had walls all the way around it with an armed guard with an AK-47 at the gate. And I was like, well, we're going to be protected at least. You know, when we get in this house, it's just unbelievable. The fixtures in the house. It was a beautiful home. And I still not seeing what's going on. Finally, me and Jean-Vier and Dalton and Ben are sitting there in the second level in the living room. I mean, it's just an unbelievable place. We're sitting on the couch, and I'm saying, man, I'm thankful I didn't go to that hotel. We're sitting on the couch, and Jean-Vier said, it's about time that I tell you what's going on. I said, tell me, please. I'm trying to figure out, you know, am I doing something wrong? He said, we, Stephen, are in the middle of a political war. The minority party is trying to overthrow the majority party, and your president is for the minority party. But we are of the majority. He said, President Trump has said, the embassy's website, for no Americans to travel to Burundi at this time because it's dangerous, very dangerous. And we had no idea. We just come to preach the gospel, you know. Just follow in the Spirit of God. But our government said, do not go into Burundi. It's unstable. What was going on, the majority party, there's a lot of corruption in the leadership. I won't get into all that. But our government was trying to, make the minority party, establish them as the leaders. And the nation did not want it. And so he said, before you guys came here, the government, our government in America, the people in the embassy in Washington called my cell phone and said, how do you know Stephen McKay and Dalton Claghorn? How do you know them? And John V said, we know them. They're men of God. They preach pastors' conferences and crusades across Africa. How do you know? Have you ever met them? Have you ever had a conversation with them? Yes, through email, but we know them through other people. We can, you know, vet their testimony. They're real. They're men of God. How do you know they're real? How do you know that they're not undercover FBI agents or government agents that are coming into our nation to try and overthrow our government? How do you know? That's what they asked him. How do you all know I'm not an FBI agent? How do you know them? And they interrogated Jean-Vie. And finally, that's what took so long with our visas. They were checking out everything about my life, everything about Dalton's life. And when we got to Burundi, they were, you know, in the pastors' conference. Jean-Vie was telling me, he said, the reason why the pastors' conference has been so difficult is because half the people that have come to the pastors' conference are not pastors. They are undercover government agents from Burundi. And they're waiting to listen. They're listening to every word you've got to say. Because if you were to speak politically, I probably wouldn't be in Nebraska today. If you were to speak, they're waiting, listening for every word as you begin to preach to them. If you had any words politically to against the minority party or against the majority party, you would be in very big trouble. He said, Stephen, the reason why I put you in this house is owned by the Minister of Defense. He said, I put you here because if you were out in that hotel, you would be in grave danger because they associate all Americans with those that want to overthrow the government. So I put you in the Minister of Defense's house. Across the street from us is the Secretary of Defense. That's where he lives. And he said, we've got a lot of people all the way around. He said, but these men that have come to the pastor's conference every morning, they've been listening. My God, I feel like I live in the book of Acts. They've been listening to everything you've been saying. He said, Stephen, you didn't speak politically. You just preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this was his words. He said, last night in the crusade, many of those undercover agents, many of those undercover government people got born again in the crusade last night. Hallelujah! I feel like Paul preaching to Caligula, but I didn't even know that he was even there. Amen. It's amazing as you walk with God and the move of God that happened after that, as the Spirit of God broke out, every single night in the crusade, people were getting born again, born of the Spirit. Are you listening to me? The soldiers were there. The police officers were there. All these people from the government were there. We're just preaching Jesus. I'm so thankful that the gospel is a universal language. It does not matter that the gospel of Christ has no favor, whether you are a big person or a little person. Everything is level when it comes to the foot of the cross. I don't care if you're a president of a nation or you're a poor person in the village. This gospel is for every man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we come out of Burundi and we come home. We're just on this high. My God, this is the craziest story I've ever experienced in my life. You know, what went on. And so December, we came back home, middle of December, right before Christmas. And as I got home, I began to ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have for us in 2020? And none of us foreseen. Did any of you see? Any of you foresee the coronavirus shutting down the whole globe? Not just cities and states, but the whole earth. And so at the beginning of the year, I began to pray, because I understand that if I do not have a vision, you know, if you don't aim for something, you'll hit nothing. And so I began to ask the Lord what is it that you want us to do this year? And I remember as I began to pray, he put a few things in my spirit. The first thing that he put in my heart was to establish the ministry in the nation of Kenya. Because without our establishment in the nation of Kenya, that's where we're going to basically make our home base for all of Africa. And without an establishment there, it's very difficult to operate. You know, operating from East Tennessee and sending budgets over through Western Union and all kinds of stuff. It's just very difficult to keep up with everything. And so the Lord put that in my heart. And I communicated that with Ben. And Ben began to work. I sent Ben to Nairobi, I don't know, 15 times back and forth from Homa Bay to Nairobi in the government offices, trying to figure out how we can register the ministry with the government of Kenya. And it was a miracle. Literally was. The Lord really helped us, because in 2014, they shut down all new registrations of all ministries, because there's such an abuse of people there in the nation, you know, starting a ministry and just not doing anything with it. They had thousands and thousands and thousands of registered ministries. And so they said, we are not opening another ministry. So Ben, you know, going back and forth to Nairobi, began to talk to people, and the Lord allowed us, you know, just through a different way. It was just incredible. The Lord allowed us to register VOHM with the government of Kenya. Right now, today, we are a registered entity in the nation of Kenya. We've opened up a bank account. We've set up a board of directors over there, so that way we can further progress into the interiors of Africa with the gospel. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The second thing the Lord began to deal with me about was, you know, land in Kenya. And it was just incredible. As all of this, you know, February, everything really began to rise with the coronavirus. And here we are thinking, what are we going to do? We can't gather in churches. We can't raise funds. We can't do anything. You know, we're just stuck in our homes, because that's going to save the world, right? And so, you know, we're all just isolated. And I understand, you know, the wisdom of that. But anyways, we're stuck in our homes. And Lord, what are we going to do? But the Lord began to put in my heart, you know, the need of a piece of land. And Ben had a piece of land across the road from the airport in Homa Bay, in which we were going to use, and we're going to buy another piece of land behind it, conjoin it because it wasn't big enough and use it. But Ben called me on the phone. He said, Stephen, I need to tell you that the land that we have, that I have across the street from the airport, is lauded for airport expansion. The government has already approached us, all of us that own that land there, that they're going to buy it from us whether we like it or not. And it's going to go into the expansion of the airport. He said, so I do not suggest that we buy the piece of land behind it and then build, and then we have to tear everything down and start over. So I said, well, just begin to look for another piece of land. He found another piece of land outside of the allotment, because it's a really good area, outside the allotment of where the airport is going to be expanding. And he called me on the phone. He said, Stephen, I found a really good piece of land. He said, and I asked him how much it was. He said, it was $12,000 for this piece of land. I said, well, we'll begin to fundraise and pray and ask the Lord to help us. And in the midst of Corona, and I'll never forget this year. I'm just telling you right now, it's been a weird year, but it's been a good year for ministry, believe that or not. In the midst of Corona, we had individuals call us and say, we want to help you in your vision for Africa. What's the need? And I told them, this is the need. They said, well, we're going to send you money towards it. At one church, Aaron sent me $7,000 for that piece of land. Then other individuals came on. And just, it was like in the matter of weeks, the Lord provided the funds. And I just sent the money over to Ben. And he just went through the title process. And we are proud owners of a piece of property in the nation of Kenya. Amen. So we're going to put there our offices. We're going to build a small missions home. If any of you all want to come, praise the Lord. We're going to build a small missions home there. But we're also, in time, we'd like to establish an orphanage there as well. And a training center, just a lot of things. But there's so many orphan children there that have just been wrecked in life because of HIV. AIDS, and their parents just have abandoned, they passed away. So anyways, that's kind of something that we're going to work towards. And as I began to pray, it's just incredible. This is just unbelievable. The Lord, when you begin to focus on the lost of the earth and the pursuit of reaching the lost, it's amazing what the Lord will do in your life. It really is, when you don't focus on yourself. And I've yet to share this testimony with Aaron. There's actually two testimonies I'll share with you. I hope I'm not taking up too much time. But I was, we have two orphanages in Southeast Asia. And of those orphanages, one we help full-time. We sponsor it full-time. And our orphanage director there, we have about 47 to 50 children. It kind of fluctuates, some age out, and we get new ones. And me and Kwong have talked about, the expansion of the orphanage there. Because, we want to be able to house 100, 200 children. There's thousands of children out there in the villages that are subject to child sex trafficking. Up there, right along the border of China, about 1 hour away from the city where we're in, there's a really, really bad situation going on there. Children go missing all the time. And they go into that world of child sex trafficking across the border into China. And I'll tell you this one testimony. Recently, about 3 or 4 months ago, Kwong was up preaching in the, and Kwong is our orphanage director. He's actually the one that owns the orphanage there. And he was up preaching in the villages, just an incredible individual. He's up preaching in the villages, and he came across, he was in one village, and he came across these three little boys. They were living in this shanty of a hut, just this little makeshift house. And he inquired about them. And the three boys, the oldest was 9, the age of my oldest son, Bentley. And then there's his two younger brothers were twins. They're 5 years old, and they were stricken with polio. They couldn't walk. They could barely move, of their own from the waist down. Their legs were, kind of bent up underneath them. And Kwong began to inquire about these children. Where are their parents? They have no parents. The 9-year-old little boy was the sole provider for his 5-year-old brothers. No parents. The relatives, it was some weird situation where the relatives wanted nothing to do with them. And these little boys in the middle of this, middle of nowhere in a village, were taking care of themselves. The 9-year-old being the provider, going out every day trying to find food for his 2 5-year-old brothers. And Kwong went in that situation and inquired, where's your parents? They're not here. They passed away. Where is your relatives? They don't want anything to do with us. They don't help us. And so Kwong went in and finally found a distant relative, found the whole story. And I'll have to get that for you later. But he made an agreement with them. He said, because you've neglected these children for so long, I will take these children to my orphanage under one condition, that you never, ever come looking for them. That you never come and try to take them back because of what you've done with these children. And so Kwong took these three little boys to our orphanage there in Kang Tung. It's just amazing. Brought them in, washed them up. I don't know how long it was from the last time they had a bath even. Put new clothes on them. And now as they're finally regaining health in a community of other children that love the Lord, it's amazing to watch their strength begin to regain. And I was on the phone with Kwong not very long ago, maybe about 3 or 4 weeks ago. We FaceTimed and Kwong said, Stephen, I want you to talk to one of these five-year-old little boys. I want you to see how well he's doing. And that five-year-old little boy was just, they all call me Uncle Stephen. He's waving at me like this on the FaceTime. And he said, stand up on your feet. And I couldn't believe it because when they came, they had no leg strength whatsoever. But that little boy, he got up from the floor and he stood up on his legs and he began to jump like this. And Kwong said, hey, Stephen, he's beginning to learn to walk. It's amazing when you're able to literally change the lives of children. I said this maybe last night, that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You can preach and preach and preach and preach and preach. But until you show the love of Christ, faith without works is dead. And so we've been praying. Kwong and I have been praying for partners to come in to the orphanage to help us. And we have my orphanage director in the United States, Jason Collins, his wife is our secretary, Kayla. Jason and Kayla have raised funds. It's been incredible because there's a piece of land right behind our orphanage that we want to buy. And I want you to pray with us. Can you pray with us? There's a piece of land right behind our orphanage that was initially for sale. It's just a blank, empty piece of land. And it's not very big, but we need it. And the owners were going to sell it to us, but they changed their mind and they're waiting. I don't know. I just want you to pray with us because we have the money to buy it. They've raised the funds to purchase the land if they would sell it. We just need the Lord to touch their heart to help us buy it. And so anyways, we were praying and Kwong called me and he said, Stephen, he said, I've got some substantial news. I said, tell me your news. I'm excited, you know, I like good news. He said, we had a missions team from South Korea. Listen very closely. I love the body of Christ. So we had a missions team from South Korea come to our town of Kang Tung, and they were teaching in a Bible school near here, and one of their leaders heard of the orphanage efforts that we have going on here. And he said, they came over, and they were overwhelmed at what was going on. When I found that orphanage, there was 31 children, I think, or maybe 37 children, and the total support that he had for all those children was $120 a month to feed 37 children with just bags of rice. And, you know, they came and seen the situation. It's not like that today. But they seen the whole thing, overwhelmed at what Kwong was doing with these children, bringing them into this orphanage and feeding them and housing them and giving them the gospel, sending them to school, sending them to trade school as they age out. It's just incredible. And they were overwhelmed at what was going on. Most of you have never heard this testimony yet. And so the man from South Korea looked at Kwong and said, what's your needs? I love it when people ask me that. What's your needs? And Kwong said, well, we need to build a bigger dormitory. We don't have enough room, adequate space to, you know, separate the boys and the girls. We've done all that we could do, going in, building bunk beds, and maybe some, if you've not seen videos, we have all the videos on Facebook and YouTube. But we went in and, you know, renovated. But anyways, we need a bigger building. And Kwong began to describe what he wanted. And he said, well, we'll stay in contact with you, and we'll discuss. And so through email and through communication, they began to draft up this three-story building. You know, this is what you need. You need a three-story building, and this is the rooms and the seven showers and seven toilets, and I'm not talking about just cinder block. I mean tiled floors and tiled walls and just all this stuff. And Kwong said, yes, this would be wonderful. And the South Korean pastor there said, well, he said, we're going to send you $20,000 to do it. And so they sent from South Korea. Don't you love the body of Christ? They sent from South Korea to Myanmar. They sent him $20,000 and we're in the middle of building. It's just unbelievable as everything is just under construction. You need to go. I sent an email out not long ago about it, reporting on it. But it's just absolutely amazing what the Lord is doing. It's just incredible. And finally, I'll just share this with you. We, you know, when you begin to move towards the will of God, when you begin to walk towards the will of God, not concerning myself, because, you know, I understand that there's so much need of the earth. It's amazing how the Lord will provide for you even when you don't, you know, present the need. We've been in a space, office space, me and Dalton. Dalton actually shares our secretary's desk, but not at the same time. my secretary comes in on the weekend. So we have this office space. It's about 12 foot by 24 foot. Everything of UHM World Headquarters is in there, okay? And through the midst of all of this coronavirus stuff, you know, we're just focused on fulfilling the vision for overseas and what's happening. And there's still so much I could tell you. Ben, after he left, he came over here in the month of February, left the beginning of March, and he went home. And another big need that we had in Africa was, a vehicle that we can haul our own equipment in. And Ben went back to Hama Bay, and he called me. He said, Stephen, he said, I've secured our own vehicle. So we right now, Ben purchased a box truck that is four-wheel drive that we're able to take all of our crusade equipment, which we have yet to purchase. But when we get it, we're going to put it in the box truck and be able to haul it across East Africa, because most of our budgets, when we do a crusade, 50% of the budget is renting equipment. And so, Ben, you know, that's another incredible testimony. But anyways, so in the midst of all of this, here we are. You know, coronavirus is going on. I'm still focused on, you know, our orphanage in Southeast Asia and what's going on in Africa, trying to, you know, work all this out. And, you know, the least of my mind was, you know, what we're going to do in the United States for office space. And my wife was in a tutor meeting with our homeschool group. We have we homeschool our children, obviously, because we travel all the time. And it's just been an incredible blessing. And she was in a tutor meeting in our community, our homeschool community. And the director of the homeschool community, great friends of ours, came up to Jess and said, would you guys consider moving your offices? And Jess said, what do you mean? And we had just recently moved. It's a good time to move, coronavirus, you know. We had recently just moved houses from Johnson City to Bluff City. And she looked at her and said, would you guys consider moving your offices to Bluff City? And Jess looked at her and said, well, we just moved to Bluff City. I was getting ready to have to drive 25 minutes back to Johnson City to get to go to office at my office every day, me and Dalton. And Jess said, yeah, what does it entail? And she said, we're looking, and it's too long of a story, just an incredible testimony, but her husband owns a business, and she said to Jess, we're getting ready to purchase a middle school. And this middle school in Bluff City closed down. They built a new middle school. And would you guys, you know, think about moving your offices into this middle school? And I was like, my God, this is unbelievable. And so, I mean, literally, we're in a little postage stamp office, you know. And so her husband called me and said, Stephen, I want you to come over and look through the school with me. Look through it. Just walk through. So me and Dalton went, and we began to walk through the school. And he looked at me, and he said, Stephen, anything that you see, anything, any space in this building that you see that you want, he said, I'll give it to you. Any space. And I looked at him and said, are you serious? He said, whatever you want. He said, I want to help you. And there was other organizations that were there because, you know, middle school's humongous. This middle school's massive. And so Good Samaritan Ministries was there. Fellowship Christian Athletes was there. Another ministry that's focused on Portuguese-speaking nations was there. And they're going to make it a nonprofit center, you know, right there in Bluff City. And, you know, so we're all there. And he's, you know, just whatever. He looked at me privately and said, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. and I'm overwhelmed here, you know. And we started walking through the school, and the school's large, gymnasium, just the whole thing. We were walking through a lot of potential, a lot of things, and off the backside of the school, there was another separate building, three classrooms, cafeteria, robotics lab, and the choir music department. We're walking through, and I walked up into this area that was just three classrooms, one door, you know, is isolated, had two bathrooms, and I'm just walking through and looking at everything. And I looked at Dalton and I said, this is, I like this a lot. You know, this is a great spot. And we walked through the rest of the school, the robotics lab and the choir, what used to be the music room, and just walked through the whole school. And at the end of it, you know, all of us were there. All the ministries were there. He said, well, what did you guys think? What do you think about this space? And I have no trouble speaking. So I said, man, there's a lot of potential. You know, I didn't want to be like, boys, that up there is mine. You know what I mean? Don't be touching it. And I just said, there's a lot of space, a lot of potential. You know, there's a lot that we can do. And he looked at me, he said, Stephen, he said, what did you think about that back building up there? What did you think about that back building up there? And I said to him, I said, that's what I would ask you for. If I was to ask you for a space, he said, it's yours. 3,500 square feet of space is ours to build into, to develop. And it's just been unbelievable. And he, you know, another great testimony of it was he told me, he said, Stephen, I want you to know, he said, I'm not going to charge you rent. I'm not going to charge you for utilities or power. I'm going to give you Wi-Fi. He said, I just ask you to take out your garbage. Amen. 8 minutes from where we relocated. You know, when you begin to walk towards the will of God. And so when we go home from this trip, we're moving from here to Colorado tomorrow. I know it's a long drive, so we're going to split it up. We go to Colorado, preach a youth camp, leave Colorado, go over to Northern California and preach there, and then come back down through and head home. And when we get home, maybe the middle of July when we get home, that's going to be our focus. Prior to us coming on this trip, you know, we just initially got in. And another great testimony about all of that is he asked me to be on his board. And so I'm on the board of that. It's called Impact Community Center there in Bluff City, Tennessee. And we're going to go back and begin to build. It's obviously, you know, three classrooms, a large office space in between it all, two bathrooms, storage area. We're going to build it into the home base for VOHM, offices for myself and Dalton, so we don't have to look at each other all day long, and our secretary, and amen, and our orphanage director, and you know, just a place to be able to do video editing, and just all. It's just amazing when you walk with the Lord, it really is. But I want you to stand with me tonight, this morning rather, and I know this was not a message per se, but I just really wanted to share with you what the Lord's been doing around the world. The rest of the year, we were supposed to go to, we're supposed to be in Myanmar in the month of May. And obviously the coronavirus hindered that. May, June, July, we're supposed to be on the road, which I'm thankful that the church is essential. August, we were supposed to be in Tanzania and Egypt. September, October, we were supposed to be in Guatemala twice. And then the month of November, we were supposed to do a crusade in Blantyre, Malawi. But all things right now are postponed. You know, the Lord, it's really incredible how if the year would have progressed the way it was, we would have had no time to really, you know, work on what the Lord has put in front of us in this office space. So when we get home, we're going to purchase the materials to buy, build walls, much like you've done in here, and, you know, put some doors up. Paint the whole thing because it is a school, and you know, just begin to furnish it. And the Lord is just going before us, and I'm amazed because I don't deserve any of it, but the Lord is doing it. And I want to challenge you as you look out in the world. So many of us, and I was going to share a lot of things, but I'm not going to. It's already 3:00 in the afternoon. But the world is in need of Jesus. The statistics are shocking. And I came here 2 years ago and we did a missions teaching, and the statistics have increased. 3.15 billion people on the earth have never heard the testimony of Jesus Christ. Half the earth's population have never, ever heard the story of Jesus. And we sit in here and we worship the Lord, and we feel the presence of God. We feel the conviction of the Lord. We can run to Him when we are in trouble. We can run to Him when we are guilty of sin. And He's there to forgive us of our sins and make remission for our sins. But yet half the world's population are still under that mindset of bondage. They've never, ever heard the gospel. Some sit in Buddhist temples, some in Hindu temples, some in Islamic temples, many in America are skeptics and atheists and agnostics across Europe. It's a dead continent, as most of you know. The world's in need of Jesus. And I'm going to challenge you. I'll challenge you this morning to do whatever you can. Do whatever you can to reach the lost. Whatever amount that you can give, give it. It's not going to me. And I'm not just raising funds for myself. I'm challenging you this morning. If you've yet to give in or to budget in your budget to give towards missions, you're missing out on one of the greatest blessings that is yet to be seen on this side of heaven. When we get on that side of heaven, we will see all that the people that we are able to reach. But the world is in need of Jesus. And it's up to you and I to reach them. Amen.